I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Is different better, or is different more of the same? That is the question. Tim Kelly, he's definitely a different play caller, but he's been following Bill O'Brien around for about 10 years. He was technically the offensive coordinator last year, but now Bill O'Brien is trusting him to call the plays. We're going to hear from him in just a sec out there at training camp as training camp has begun for the Houston Texans. But what exactly am I supposed to expect from a guy who's been following Bill O'Brien around for 10 years in regards to the system and the offensive philosophy looking different than what we've been used to, J-Lo?
I'll just go back to my main point with Tim Kelly. I have not had a sit-down, hour-and-a-half-long X's and O's discussion with Tim Kelly about what his imprint is going to be on this offense, how he's going to call plays differently than Bill O'Brien, what his importance, his imagination is going to be compared to Bill O'Brien, how he's going to help Deshaun. I haven't had that discussion, okay? But I know he's not Bill O'Brien.
Okay.
And to me, that's a win so far. That's an early win. Maybe he's going to be a worse play caller. But I think, we talk about the ceiling with Bill O'Brien and not having a play on fourth down and some of the predictable and head-scratching play calls that he's made, which is part of the job, but it seems like he's made a lot of them. And I just know that a new face in the room, a new person calling those plays is going to be a good thing for now.
For how long?
Until it's proven otherwise.
Like for 5 weeks from tomorrow? Is that what you're saying? Like we'll get our first taste against the Chiefs? Like I don't know.
No, you're not going to judge him on one game.
Well, I mean,
you'll have an imprint. Well, you'll have an impression.
I guess you're just saying change for the sake of change in this situation is good regardless of what happens because you're seeing something different. Is that what you're saying? I don't want to put words in your mouth, but that's what I feel like you're saying about Tim Kelly calling plays.
I want different.
But is different. It going to my thing is I don't know that it's going to be much different because he's been following B.O.B. around for 10 years and it's
has
the same
to be.
System. B.O.B. said that part of the reason that he earned the right to call plays is because he knows the system.
Yeah. Well, the system is the same, but there are certainly plays that have been called either not at all or not as often as Bill O'Brien, had in front of Bill O'Brien, he hadn't called those plays as often or not at all that are in the system, in the playbook. Well, maybe these are some that kind of piqued the interest of Tim Kelly. You know, we always go back to the Texans offense at its absolute height, at its zenith, was the Kansas City game last year in the regular season, a couple of other games here and there, where it was just clicking. And, people often talk, including myself, about the, the run-pass options and how Deshaun Watson was so successful in those, et cetera, et cetera. Maybe those are going to be something that Tim Kelly relies on more.
Maybe Deshaun Watson can out-alpha Tim Kelly, too. Maybe, Bill O'Brien...
Have his way a little bit more?
Bill O'Brien's been known to stir it up a little bit. He's not afraid to get in the mix. He's about it. As Master P would say, shout out to the No Limit Chronicles, by the way. That resumes today on BET. Very much looking forward to that. But the thing about Bill O'Brien is he's going to argue with you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be his way. He's going to be the I got this guy. Maybe Tim Kelly who doesn't have as much of a firm, intense presence as Bill O'Brien, maybe Deshaun Watson can kind of out-alpha Tim Kelly, and he can kind of get things the way that he wants them to be. Now, the question would be, though, is that a good thing? Do we trust Deshaun Watson to be able to do and have as much feedback on the offense as, say, a Tom Brady or a Peyton Manning or an Aaron Rodgers or something like that? Yeah. Is it a good thing? I don't know, but I think to go back to your original line of thinking, with the uncertainty of what Tim Kelly will actually look like, we don't know if it's going to be a good thing, but it's different than what we've seen for the last 6 years with the offense,
right?
Which is a change, which is something that we've been asking for a long, long time.
Right. Look, it might sound a little bit weak and kind of like a backhanded compliment, but that's all we have. It's the same system. He's been with Bill O'Brien for 10 years, as you just mentioned. The playbook is not changing. Maybe he'll tweak it here and there. So all we have to hang our hats on is we've seen Deshaun Watson, you know, annihilate defenses and this offense clicking. So all we have to hang our hats on is maybe that's what Tim Kelly is going to tap into. And then there's another aspect of it, the communication, the time spent with Deshaun Watson. Bill O'Brien, frankly, did not spend a lot of time with this offense.
Deshaun said that this week, and that was kind of weird.
Especially early in the week. And you and I had heard it independent of that. That, he's got general manager things to do on Sunday and Monday. He's got managerial and head coaching things to do on Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. By Wednesday, he comes in and starts focusing on the offense. Well, that's not enough time if you're really going to devote all you can to this offense and Deshaun Watson. Tim Kelly can. So that's a good thing.
Is it, though?
I think so.
We don't know about Tim Kelly.
Well, we'll find out for sure.
That's the problem I have with this is I think sometimes that the grass isn't greener on the other side. And I think people have been so fed up with this offense with Bill O'Brien, which even last year with all the investments didn't really improve that much. There were some good highs, but the lows were really low as well, and it canceled out to statistics that were worse outside of third down or the same as the previous year. So I think part of the reason that people are open to Tim Kelly is because he's not Bill O'Brien. I don't think there's any tangible proof. Like a lot of times when you bring in an offensive coordinator, let's say you
see what he's done. Yeah.
You've seen what he's done and you can say, okay, he did that in that spot. Like Jay Gruden, and I know he failed in Washington, but he was a very good offensive coordinator for Andy Dalton. A lot of people think that he maximized Andy Dalton when he had him in Cincinnati. You bring him to work with Gardner Minshew, you have tangible proof. You can say, okay, Gardner Minshew, a little bit like Andy Dalton, Jay Gruden has done that. So you can point to that and say, he's done that with him, this will be nice. Or like Kyle Shanahan, when he went to Atlanta before he went to San Francisco, you said, well, he did have RG3 as the rookie of the year, so maybe he can allow Matt Ryan to take the next step. And then Matt Ryan wins the MVP in 2016. Like, there's a lot of times when you have a new offensive coordinator, you can say, this guy has done this. Tim Kelly's just followed Bill O'Brien around his entire career. And that's to me is the difference. And I really don't know much about this Tim Kelly.
But you got to keep one thing in mind. No one ever brings in an offensive coordinator that was a failure in their previous stop. You bring in a new offensive coordinator from elsewhere is what I'm talking about.
Okay.
That was a success.
Okay.
Like if they were to hire the, I don't know, Rams offensive coordinator, Kyle Shanahan.
Sean McVay, okay.
Let's talk about Kyle Shanahan. Okay. I'm talking about their offensive coordinator.
All right. Now you're talking.
When Kyle Shanahan was the offensive coordinator in Atlanta, then what did he do?
Went to San Francisco.
Well, he wasn't a failure as an offensive coordinator, and he was quite the success. So my point on Tim Kelly is this is his first stop. You know, this is where he has to prove himself. Maybe he's going to be an incredible success and be the next Kyle Shanahan, go be a head coach somewhere else. So like when you say, well, I've never seen an offensive coordinator come in because they always have a tangible, track record. That's because they were successful. No one's ever hired an unsuccessful offensive coordinator.
That's true. That is true. I mean, but there have been unsuccessful offensive coordinators.
Sure.
So
that were promoted. And that's why, for me right now, anything different is going to be potentially better.
I just don't know if, when we talk about the best interest of the team, capital T, capital E, capital A, capital M, what Bill O'Brien spells out, I don't know that Bill O'Brien, given the play calling to Tim Kelly, is because it's in the best interest of the team, or it's because it's the most comfortable thing to do. And it's That's a fair argument. Will give you the biggest possibility of still being able to, at any time, take over the offense and call the plays. Because Clint Sterner's been calling for it. A lot of people have been calling for it. Some outside influence wouldn't be bad for this offense. The Rams had a bad year offensively last year relative to what Sean McVay typically does. You like that? I dropped the relative two in there. And they're bringing in an offensive coordinator from the outside that Sean McVay's never worked with. So that's what they're doing. The Texans, who had a disappointing year on offense last year, they are bringing in a guy who was already there that wasn't even trusted to call the plays until now. So is it best for the team?
Yeah.
Or is it just the most comfortable decision to make?
I think
that's the question we have to ask.
That is an absolutely fair point as well. You know, he's the comfortable shoe, you know? Tim Kelly is right there, knows Bill O'Brien, is loyal to Bill O'Brien, subservient to Bill O'Brien, is not going to challenge B.O.B. as much as an outsider might. So is it almost like too comfortable? You know, do you need to go out and kind of dress it up a little bit more? That might not be comfortable at first. That's a fair argument.
All right, let's go live to NRG. Coming up next, let's hear from Tim Kelly. Tim Kelly, the guy that's in charge of the offense, let's hear what he has to say. We'll also talk to Wade Smith and preview the season. In the Loop continues next.
Live from the Twin Peaks studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
All right, Tim Kelly, I think he's ready to go. Tim Kelly at the podium, the shot caller, baller, whatever you want to call him, different, definitely that. Tim Kelly calling the plays for Deshaun Watson live out there at training camp, 5 weeks and a day away from the start of the season. He ready to go, Figgy? All right, let's go.
The challenges of being a first-time play caller, and what is the advantage of knowing the roster as well as you do?
So you know, being a first-time play caller, obviously, you know, is you know, elementary as this may sound, you're doing everything for the first time, right? So, you know, being able to put yourselves in those situations with live bullets, okay, the first time that happens in Kansas City, you know, is going to be the first time that I'm doing it where it actually counts. You know, we were able to get some experience doing that last year during the preseason, but now, you know, doing it in a regular season game, that'd be the first time. So obviously, you know, looking forward to that challenge. You know, knowing the roster, you know, it's good to be able to know what the strengths and weaknesses are of the different players, so you can take advantage of what they do well. You know, try to capitalize on their strengths and the different matchup issues that they may present.
You look at your receiving core. What do you envision from that group? And, you know, you have gone from where you had an all-pro receiver in DeAndre Hopkins, and now you have several guys that have caught a lot of passes and been successful. What do you see from that group? And if you could also touch on the offensive line, just the continuity, having all of those guys back now that Zach restructured over the summer and is back as your right guard.
Yeah, with the wide receiver position, okay, we see a lot of, you know, talented players with a lot of experience that have come through and have made plays for people in big-time games. You look at Brandon Cooks, who's played in two Super Bowls. Randall Cobb, you know, was constantly in the playoffs when he was with Green Bay. So you've got guys that have played and performed at a high level throughout their careers, and they bring – a different style of playing the wide receiver position that we've seen here in the past couple of years. So we're really excited to be able to get those guys out on the grass and watch them run and watch them continue to build their relationship with Deshaun. As far as the offensive line goes, obviously, you know, the continuity there and with that position group is you know, it's so important. The communication, knowing how one another is gonna handle different movements, reading a body language, all those things, you know, can't be taken for granted with the group. So having five guys that have played together with one another is really gonna be beneficial to the growth of this offense.
Hi, Tim. I hope you're doing well. What was the communication like between you and the rookies? And the guys that you didn't have the chance to meet, like Randall Cobb and Brandon Cooks, during this time of Zoom meetings?
Sure. you know, the communication, it's not to be too general here, but as, you know, being a younger coach, if you will, right, being able to get used to FaceTiming and doing all those things, it's become a normal interaction with people, right? So this isn't that different than what we usually do on a normal basis. So the communication, obviously, it wasn't ideal. We'd much rather be in, you know, in person, face to face. But being able to see each other through the Zoom media, being able to you know, interact with the different you know, technologies that we have, was really beneficial. So obviously we would have loved to be in person, but I think it's a testament to the guys that are in those locker room that I don't think we really missed a beat there, skipped a beat as far as the communication, because of the way they approached it, you know, the professionalism of the guys in that room and really their willingness to learn. So
Brandon.
You're listening to Tim Kelly live at training camp here on Sports Radio 610, offensive coordinator for the Texans.
What are some of your ideas for the running game? I know you've got David Johnson now. How do you plan to incorporate him, and how's this running game going to look different under you?
Yeah, I think one thing that, you know, philosophically is that we're always going to try to do what's best for the offense in terms of the different running schemes and trying to put the defense in conflict. So any way that we can try to do that, we're going to continue to do that. I mean, obviously David's a very talented football player. He's not just a great runner. He's obviously talented in the passing game, as is Duke. So we're in a very unique situation here to have two guys that we trust to not only be effective running the ball, but dangerous in the passing game also. And we're going to do what we can to, again, take advantage of the matchups that they're going to present.
Morning, Tim.
Morning.
Describe what it's like working so closely with Deshaun, a guy you see every week that can do it all on the field, but also a player that wants to get better. Walk me through the relationship there and how that makes you feel, knowing he embraces, you know, he wants to listen, he embraces the opportunity to become a better quarterback.
Yeah, you know, it's been a real joy to coach him over the past, you know, year and however long it's been. I think you hit on it with really his willingness to come in every day. And even though he has performed at such a high level, he's come in every day willing to learn and willing to get better at simple things that we think can elevate his game. So, you know, it's been a joy to coach him. He comes in with a great mindset. He's a great example to the other players in the locker room. We look forward to continuing to work with him.
Cam.
Hey, good morning, Tim. A couple questions. One, can you talk about what excites you most about this offense? And if there's something that you, the one thing that you learned from working with Bill that's going to really help you in this position? Thanks.
Yeah, as far as, you know, being excited about working with this offense, it's really the, you know, first of all, coming in every day, I think we have great guys. So being able to work with them now, being able to see them in person, you know, getting like to learn their body language and the different interactions. That's exciting, right? And that's just because they're great people and they're great football players. And again, they come here with a great attitude. Schematically, obviously being able to try and take advantage of multiple people that can win one-on-one matchups, not just in the passing game, but in the running game. So being able to take advantage of the unique skill sets that these guys are going to present. And then obviously being able to work with Coach O'Brien, it's going on 9 years now, holy smokes. But being able to work under him, really, his ability to relate to players and his ability to kind of get a feel for the room, get a feel for the locker room, is something that is – to me, it's you know, it's the best that I've been around, and it's something that again, trying to get a feel for the people that you're working closely with is a skill that really can't be you know, I can't stress that enough how important that is in order to know which buttons to push in order to get the most out of the people that you're responsible for. So, you know, being able to learn from him in that area has been great.
Listening to Texans offensive coordinator Tim Kelly live at training camp out there at NRG. He said Bill O'Brien's the best he's been around. It's the only you've been around, bro. Only thing. Back to NRG.
Right.
Tim, what are you guys allowed to do right now before you're allowed to fully practice? Are you able to do up-tempo walkthroughs and other things to, like, get at least pretty close to simulating all the mental stuff you're doing?
Yeah, sure. So we're going through, basically, once we get on the grass, we're going through walkthroughs. Nothing full speed, obviously, but we are out there going through walkthroughs, going through jogthroughs, like you said, trying to simulate as closely as you can without actually, you know, going full speed. So the players are doing a good job coming and getting lined up, and basically you're just getting a general installation. And you can see if they know what the install is really without having to go against somebody or worry about making a reach block or beating press coverage, just really making sure that the players have a general understanding of the scheme that we've installed.
Last one for John.
Hey, excuse me, Tim, ordinarily you'd have tough cuts at positions like wide receiver and tight end. Do the new practice squad rules, in which they're going to be 16 and you can keep veterans and protect four every week, do you see that helping you from when the numbers game at tight end and wide receiver?
Yeah, sure. I think that's you know, obviously with the way that Coach O'Brien is going to construct this roster, it's going to be, it's going to put us in a position to make sure that we're protecting ourselves against anything that may be coming down the line here. So obviously with the expanded roster numbers and with the expanded, vet, limitations, that's going to allow us to keep, really good players in the building.
It's Tim Kelly live from NRG. A lot to take in there. Let's talk to Wade Smith. Wade Smith's going to preview the season. We're also going to hear from Dusty Baker. Dusty Baker firing shots at your boys, and a lot going on around the league as training camps begin, 5 weeks away from the start of the season. The hits are lit next.
Playing all the hits. These are the hot stories of the day. Presented by United Rentals, the tools and equipment you need for any job. You're in the loop with Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
Texans speed dating with the coaches going on right now. We had John Perry, the wide receiver coach, say that he's seeing some good things from Kiki QT. Said that Kiki QT looks like he's ready to go. It looks like he has the right attitude. And he said that I would like to see Kiki myself establish himself as a punt returner. That's what I would like to see. So we'll see what happens. But we could see something from Kiki QT. Question is, though, are we going to see anything from Kahale Waring? Mark Berman.
Oh, did he bring it?
Oh, he brought it. He asked Will Lawing about the water polo tight end and what we could expect from him in his second year.
Yeah, can you tell me what y'all's expectations are going forward with, make sure I pronounce it right, so John didn't give me a hard time, Kahale Waring.
Right. So, like I said, anytime you're going from year one to year two, you'd like to see a jump. It's always a gradual thing. Kahale's worked his tail off. He's put in a lot of time in the classroom. He does a nice job, learning from his mistakes as things go on. I got big expectations for him, as I do for all the other ones, as well, all the other guys as well. But I would like to see a jump from him. We didn't get to see a lot from him last year. So I'm expecting some progress.
Has any of you actually
that
ever
wasn't
seen
a ringing endorsement?
Game? Dude. Dude, that was very much skirting any kind of compliment, any kind of realistic expectation or sort of, I guess, plans they have in him for him. That was a very, very kind of evasive answer. Will Lawing, of course, is the tight ends coach. He kind of moved up as well, and he's a former graduate assistant at Penn State. He's part of the Bill O'Brien coaching tree, if you will. Bill O'Brien has one.
That was not an endorsement. We'll hear from Anthony Weaver a little later on. Going to hear from Wade Smith in a sec. 5 weeks away from
the
season.
He basically said he's got a good personality.
That's basically what he said, and he was very hesitant
to
praise him. Other news around the NFL, Derek Carr, the brother of David, is going to wear an arm sleeve this year with the Las Vegas Raiders to honor Kobe Bryant. So he's going to wear an arm sleeve out there to honor Kobe.
That's cool. That's cool. Kobe was a cross, sport icon. Nothing wrong with that.
It's going to be interesting to see how Derek Carr does do with Las Vegas, because I think they like Marcus Mariota. Be interesting to see. You know, every time I think about Derek Carr, I think about his TV appearance when David was in his final year at Fresno State, where Derek Carr was just a little elementary school kid, and he just starts talking smack about
he was cocky
Big Brother David's yeah. Heisman competition.
Derek, I understand that you are the president of the David Carr for Heisman campaign. Is that true?
Yeah. It's been fun for the brother to be up for the Heisman and win the Johnny Unitas Award and all this great stuff happening for him.
Now, when you hear people saying other guys ahead of your brother for the Heisman, how does that make you feel?
It's just, you know that it's not true, and you know that they can't make the throws your brother can, and you know that, well, he's just the best quarterback in the nation, and just a great thing to know.
Rex Grossman's statistics this year are pretty good, huh?
They're pretty good, but I don't think a sophomore should win the Heisman Trophy. It's more like a senior award.
David, you think your brother has some valid points here?
I don't know. I'm sitting here laughing at the guy. I can't believe he's saying some of this stuff. He's not politically correct, I guess you'd say, but he's my biggest fan, so, I mean, I'm going to stick with him.
Love that.
I remember watching him in the bubble. Like, I think he was a 7th or 8th grader, and he was throwing balls on the side. He'd come to a lot of practices. David Carr's dad came to every practice,
That's weird in high school.
Really weird. Yeah. I mean, yeah, no, you don't even do it in high school. Or maybe drive by, pick him up, get there early or something.
We used to make fun of people whose dads would show up to every practice.
Yeah, I would usually, like, get there early to pick him up and just see how things are, the scrimmaging part.
Yeah, but every day.
But no, nothing like that. And he was cocky, man. I mean, even as a 7th grader, you're like, why are you saying these things? Who are you?
Astros last night, we're going to get a preview from Wade Smith in just a sec. They get the dub 8-2. Christian Javier, 6 innings pitch, 1 run, 4 strikeouts, 1 walk on 79 pitches. Carlos Correa reaches base all 5 times, 3-for-3, a solo shot for him, solo shot for Jose Altuve, 3 more RBIs for George Springer, who now has 9 on the first 4 games of the road trip. First pitch tonight at 8, post-game show, of course, right after with yours truly. Here's Carlos Correa talking about Christian Javier.
I think Javier is going to be in a rotation for a long time. He's nasty. He's got great stuff. I like his composure on the mound. The kid's got it all. So I like the way he attacks hitters. I like the way he handles everything in such a big shoes that he has to fill. You know, he's great. I think he's going to be here for a long time.
How do you say Justin Verlander in Spanish?
Oh, no, don't do this.
How do you say Justin Verlander in Spanish?
Justin Verlander.
Christian Javier.
Oh, there you go.
That's how you say it.
Get out of here. By the way, Roberto Osuna looks like he's probably going to have Tommy John surgery. Dusty said that he was in his thoughts and prayers. Also said Michael Brantley dealing with a quad injury. He's going to be day-to-day, could be in the lineup as early as today. And by Thursday, they're going to have to trim the roster from 30 to 28.
Yeah.
My sense is they'll probably get rid of one of the catchers, maybe Garneau, designate him for assignments.
Yeah.
And then they'll have to decide, maybe Toro. I think Jack Mayfield is probably the other guy.
Yeah,
so
they seem to like Toro.
They do like Toro. By the way, hit by 2 pitches yesterday, still hitting 071.
Keep jumping in front of that ball, buddy.
Hit by 2 pitches yesterday. We'll see what happens. I think Jack Mayfield and probably one of the catchers.
It was nice to see that offense show some life, man. I mean, they've been showing life. I think they're scoring more runs.
6 runs a game, 9.3 hits, 1.1 homers, 5.1 walks, 0.9 hit by pitches.
Shows you what they can do, man.
Of Brian McTaggart. Tell me if this guy's lying or not. Derek Jeter talking about the Marlins who had the coronavirus breakdown. There was talk that maybe they had their noses in strippers' buttholes. Not sure. Here's Derek Jeter talking about what went down.
We had guys leave to get coffee, to get clothes. The guy left to have dinner at a teammate's house.
Okay.
There was no salacious activity.
Salacious.
There was no hanging out at bars, no clubs, no running around Atlanta, no running around the town. What it boiled down to on this particular trip was guys were around each other, they got relaxed, and they let their guard down. They were getting together in groups. They weren't wearing masks as much as they should have. They weren't social distancing. And the entire traveling party got a little too comfortable. Should they have been doing that? No. But there is no way to identify how this got into our clubhouse. But any activities on Tuesday night we're not it.
How can you say there's no way to identify it, but it definitely wasn't on Tuesday?
That's my point.
What are you talking about?
Why the you lying?
What are you talking about?
Why you always lying?
I actually don't feel like he's lying. I think he believes that because it's so plausible to you know, either way, if I walked out of this building, didn't even really have that much contact with anyone, got home, and then all of a sudden tested positive in 2 days or 3 days or whatever the time is, I can't say, well, you know what? It was on that drive home. I can't say it wasn't. I mean, you could say anything here. You know, they didn't. There was no salacious activity, or maybe there was.
You don't know
yeah, exactly. Who knows?
Know you don't know that, DJ. About to talk to Wade Smith, preview the season. Also going to hear from Anthony Weaver. But I want to ask you this. You think you can kick Mike Tyson's ass?
Me?
Yeah.
Me kick Mike Tyson's ass?
Yes.
Hell no.
Apparently there's one thing you have to do to beat up Mike Tyson. It might be easier than you thought. This was him with Dan Patrick yesterday talking about why he would never fight Conor McGregor.
I don't think I want to do that. And not because Conor might kick my ass, but just the fact that Conor had the right to step on my feet. If anybody steps on my feet, I'm tapping out. He doesn't have to.
Wait.
If he steps on my feet when we get out the ring, it's going to be a problem. Then we're going to have to get some police involved. We're going to have to a lawyer involved. It's going to be ugly.
He said, all you have to do is step on his feet. Rockets last night, they fall 110 to 102. Did you see that video of Chad Ochocinco with Mike Tyson where Chad Ochocinco's friend is recording a video and Mike Tyson looks at him and says, he drops an M-bomb. He's like, what are you recording?
Yeah.
And then Chad goes, no, he's with me. And Mike's like, oh, my bad, my bad.
So I was about to kill him.
Yeah. Scary. Let's go to Wade Smith right now.
He could step on Mike Tyson.
5 weeks and a day away from Texans training camp. Wade Smith here to preview the season. Wade, we're going to go through some pros and cons with you in regards
Landry,
to
Landry, before we do that, Landry, can we just recognize the greatness of Mike Tyson and how much of a treasure he is
He's
and
my man.
How quotable he is as a human being? Like,
he really
Tyson is.
Is
the GOAT on and off the damn. Well, I don't say on, but
in and out of the ring.
Out of the ring, yeah.
Yeah, you know damn well I'm paying $50 for that fight. I mean, come on, dude. It's just
no,
a celebration.
No question.
It's just a celebration of Mike Tyson, dude. Like, people are like, him and Roy Jones aren't going to be. I don't care. It's a celebration of Mike Tyson and Roy Jones. Probably my two favorite boxers of all time. Let's just be honest.
I am going to feel guilty when he knocks Roy out, though. Roy has been knocked out a few times in his life, and it's never pretty when he gets knocked out. And so I'm going to feel a little guilty, feel a little dirty after it's over, but I'm paying. I'm watching for sure.
Hey, I don't think Roy's ever had a punch like that either. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe he.
No
has
one's ever had a punch. I mean,
that's a hell of a punch. Wade, five weeks and a day away from Texans. I'm gonna go through some position groups with you. I just want you to tell me the positive and the negative. Let's start with the receivers.
Receivers. So they got four legit veteran options, and it's the deepest the position has ever been in the history of the franchise. That is. That's a great positive for that spot. As far as the negative, health, full spot, full stop. That's it. Health.
Yeah. Health. Look, you know, we've been hearing, and I don't know how much you've heard, a lot of Tim Kelly talking about the offense, and we're not going to play all that for you, although I might play something for you in a bit, regarding Kahale Waring, but my big point is with Tim Kelly is I don't know if he's going to be better. I don't know if he's going to be worse than Bill O'Brien, but he's different, and I like that. To me, that's a positive thing. How would you feel about that?
That sounds good because he's different, but when I listened to that press conference, he sounded like it's going to be more of the same. So I'm not expecting much different. I'm hoping that because they have more depth at the receiver position, there's going to be more options each and every game as opposed to before they brought in Randall Cobb and Brandon Cooks.
Right.
All right, let's go to the running back. And I want to read this for you real quick. This is from David Johnson. David Johnson, the running back for the Texans, one of the five highest paid running backs in the league, a guy you traded for DeAndre Hopkins. This is his pinned tweet on Twitter. Quote, "It's cool if you want to sleep on me. Been like that my whole life. Ain't nothing new. Just don't want to see or hear from people the same people when I'm back." That's David Johnson's pinned tweet. That's awesome, right? It's from January 25th, 2018. It's from January 25th, 2018. He's been saying that for 2 years. Wade.
Yeah, whatever works for you, but you got to go out and show and prove, and he hasn't done it in a few years. And so once he goes out and does it, then he can talk all the cash money he wants to. But right now he's not really in a position to be doing that because he hasn't put it out there on the field.
Does it make you feel better that he was the Arizona Cardinals Walter Payton Man of the Year last year?
I love that idea. I love that because that means that he's doing a lot of great things in community. You know, I'm a community guy, but when we talk about the bottom line of
exactly
winning and losing ball games, that part of it really doesn't matter.
Exactly. All right. So we were talking with Will Law. Well, we heard from Will Lawing, who's the tight end coach, and I'm not going to try to influence you one way or the other. Just tell me what you think about what he says when it comes to Kahale Waring.
Right. So, like I said, anytime you're going from year one to year two, you'd like to see a jump. It's always a gradual thing. Kahale's worked his tail off. He's put in a lot of time in the classroom. He does a nice job, you know, learning from his mistakes as things go on. I got big expectations for him, as I do for all the other ones, as well, all the other guys as well. But I would like to see a jump from him. You know, we didn't get to see a lot from him last year. So, expecting some progress.
If you're Kahale Waring, what are you thinking when you hear that?
If I'm Kahale Waring, I got to get my together. That's what I'm thinking. Like that wasn't a ringing vote of confidence, ringing endorsement, anything like that. He understands that he's fighting for his job. He should understand that. That should be his thought process right now because you got three veterans in front of you that know the offense and actually know football. You know, Kahale Waring is new to the game. You could tell from the answers that Will Long was given is that there's little things about his game that should be common knowledge or just come second nature. But since he's not a natural football player, he used to play water polo, that he's a behind in some of those aspects. But he has a lot of physical gifts and he has a high ceiling. So he's got to make those strides to where he can improve as a player. And we'll see. He's going to have every opportunity this training camp to win him a job and get opportunities to play this year. I don't have too much expectation. I mean, the coach has high expectations for him. I don't. I just think that he's not there yet. And if he was there already, they would be saying things of that nature. They'd be talking about how excited they were about Kahale Waring and the things that he's done so far in the offseason, as opposed to, you know, he learns from his mistakes and we have expectations for him and we expect guys to get better.
Talking to 10-year NFL vet, pro bowler for the Houston Texans.
12, homie.
Texans
12,
homie.
12, don't homie. Shortchange. Don't shortchange.
I should have said 10 plus. 10. My bad. I should have said
Yeah, there you
plus.
Go. It's 12. It's easy to remember.
I'll
12.
Just say decade, I'll just say decade plus. I'm usually on the 12. You've obviously been to a lot of camps. Texans. They're putting work in right now. Pads come on next week, so we're gonna have pads out there at NRG. What is the anticipation like for a player, you know, before you strap on the pads, as opposed to when the pads actually come on? Are you anxious? Are you just ready to strap them on? Is it just a step by step, day by day thing? What's going through your mind about a week away from strapping on the pads?
You're ready to hit somebody upside the head, bro. Like if you're such an offensive defensive lineman. They've gone months and months without having any kind of physical contact. They didn't do OTAs. They didn't do mini camp. They didn't do anything to get some of that pent up energy out. And so you're looking forward to putting on the pads where you can actually hit somebody and play real football. And so they haven't even had the ability to do any of the physical contact that you would have in OTAs and stuff. So I think guys will be excited. I would be excited about it. Once you start losing your legs and you get through the monotony of training camp, then that changes a little bit and you got to push through it. But initially that week going into it, you're excited about it, but you're also going to be a little bit apprehensive this go around because you don't know how things are going to go as far as the coronavirus. And is by me practicing and hitting people right now, am I making myself more at risk? A lot of those things I think will be in the back of guys' mind.
Wade, we'll get you out of here on this previewing the season with Wade Smith, 12. Your NFL vet, former Texans pro bowler, and Texans ambassador. Let's go to the other side of the rock, man. It's awkward for me because I got low hopes for this defense. We know why there's reservation about this defense. Last in the league in third down defense, last in the league in red zone defense. Only thing they did good was stop the run. DJ Reader gone. Ninth best in the league in that category. Very thin along the D-line. Really, you know, you're going to be relying on Ross Blacklock, Jonathan Grenard, blah, blah, blah. Give me something positive about this defense. Try to sell me on this Texans defense 5 weeks and a day away from the season, please. If you can't, I'm not going to ask you to do anything that you're uncomfortable doing, but try to sell me on this defense.
I'm going to sell you on the two DBs that I think are going to have big years. I think Justin Reed and Bradley Roby are going to have big years this year. I don't have much confidence at all in any of the other guys that are in the defensive backfield, but those two guys I expect to play at a very, very high level this year. So that's something to be excited about. It. You got to be excited about the fact that J.J. Watt is coming back this season. He's going to be healthy going into the season. And when he's healthy, he plays very well. Now, how long that's going to last, who knows? But while he's out there, you should be excited about that. And Zach Cunningham coming back this year. And Whitney Mercilus playing with J.J. Watt. So those are the positive things that you have going on the defensive side of the ball. Besides that, there's a lot of unknown. There's a lot of young guys. There's a lot of people that are going to have to show and prove inside of a new defensive scheme. So that's why there's uncertainty and there's concern on the defensive side of the ball.
What is an Eric Murray?
Yeah, there is that Eric Murray.
I don't know. I don't know about Eric Murray. Hopefully he can show everybody who he is and make everybody remember his name. But Eric Murray would have been the guy that Arian Foster was talking to when he was like, "Who are you?
Turn around, bro.
I don't even know you." Like, turn around. What's your name? Like, he would have been that guy if Arian was still playing. But he has an opportunity because they penciled him in or they wrote him a pen. He's going to be the starter. You pay him what you pay him, he's going to start. So he's going to have every opportunity to go out there and show it. That's the beautiful thing about the league is that we can talk about it all we want to talk about it, but you got to put the ball down and go play. So he's going to have opportunity to put the ball down, go play, make plays. And if he does, then he can shut a lot of people up.
We're here from the man in charge of that defense, Anthony Weaver, in a little bit. That's Texans legend Wade Smith. Smitty.
We know your name,
you,
Wade.
Man. Appreciate you.
It's always real.
We know who you are.
Man, hold on. You just stepped over my man's trademark.
All right,
line, J-Lo.
Trademark,
wait,
my
wait,
bad.
Wait, I'm sorry about that.
That's
okay?
My bad.
We don't do it twice either, so we don't run that back. It is what it is. You just have to just cut John's step over out of the thing, but we're going to ride with
hey,
it. I'll talk to y'all soon, man. Appreciate y'all, man. Y'all doing a great job like y'all was doing the loop. Shout out to the Loopholes, the best listeners in the city and in the country, really. So shout out to all them, and y'all have a great day. Have a great weekend, too, man. What's today? I don't even know what today
Today's
is.
Wednesday.
Hump day.
Wednesday. It's hump day. Yeah. Have a rest of the weekend.
Hump day.
There we go. Wade Smith right there. Sorry about Lopez.
It's always real.
I don't know what's going on. Lopez is just anxious. We got a lot to talk about. Texans training camp going on. We're going to go live out there again. Anthony Weaver, you're going to hear from him. You're going to hear from Dusty Baker calling out myself and John Lopez. There's all types of stuff going on. I can hardly contain myself. Lunchtime next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.